Mark chapter 2. I want to read two fairly long passages, and the message today is Jesus.
The worker of God's work with ease. Jesus,
the worker of God's work with ease.
I have to read the first portion
to bring it out, and then the second portion that we considered. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And when he entered again into Capernaum after some days, it was noise that he was in the house, and many were gathered together, so that there was no room for them, no, not even about the door. And he spake the word unto them. And they come, bringing unto him a man sick of the palsy, born of fools. And when they could not come nigh unto him, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, How doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway,
Jesus,
perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, saith unto them, I reason ye these things in your hearts, which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house. And he arose and straightway took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Please notice, when the Lord Jesus is questioned about his work, he says this, Which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Take up your bed and walk. And then he demonstrated it. Now, Chapter 5, I would like to read the full incident about this man, whose name we find out later was Legion. Verse 1, And they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And no man had strength to tame him. And always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. For he said unto him, Come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he saith unto him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he could not send them away out of the country. Now there was on the mountainside a great herd of swine feeding. And they besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And he gave them leave. And the unclean spirit came out and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, in number about 2,000. And they were drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they came to see what it was that had come to pass. And they come to Jesus, and behold him that was possessed with demons, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And Luke tells us, at the feet of Jesus, even him that had the legion, and they were afraid. And they that saw it declared unto them how it befell him that was possessed with demons, and concerning the swine. And they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. And as he was entering into the boat, he that had been possessed with demons besought him that he might be with him. And he permitted him not, but saith unto him, Go to thy house, unto thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee. And he went his way, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for the portion that we have read from thy word this morning. There are things, our God, that we of ourselves are not able to understand. For someone to say your sins are forgiven, for someone to give a command, and one who was paralyzed was able to get up and walk, all of these things, our God, are beyond our comprehension. But we are glad that we read the words of your Son, which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven. And so we are thankful, our Father, that you have demonstrated for us in two scriptures the ease with which the Lord Jesus did your work. We pray that we shall take these things to heart. Let us know, our God, that when insignificant things arise in our lives, we would pray to you and think that perhaps there is a chance that God could answer this prayer. But when difficult things arise, our Father, let us know that we would have doubts. We might hesitate to pray. We might not even pray. But we are thankful from the portions that we read today that we see that your Son, the Lord Jesus, with ease can do all your works. So bless these things to our hearts today. We thank you that we are together, that we have strength enough to be here, that we have a will enough to be here. And so bless us in our souls, and let us depart, our Father, with a blessing, and not go away disappointed. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you read some of the things that the Lord Jesus did in his life, you would think of yourself how hard it must have been for Jesus to do these things. It would be impossible for me to do these things. But I've read you two accounts
of things that Jesus did, and he himself used these words. And I'm so glad that he tells us some things that we would never know about. When he was challenged about forgiving sins, he said, I'm going to give you an illustration. There are two things that I'm going to do. I've already forgiven this man his sins, and in a moment, I'm going to tell him to take up his bed and walk. I've done a spiritual thing, and I intend to do a physical thing. He said, and I want you to know, I want you to understand that one thing is as easy for me to do as the other. Which is easier, for me to say to the sick of the palsy, take up your bed and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven? He said, but, and this is most important, please grasp it, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. He says to the sick of the palsy, take up your bed and go home. And he did it. So think of two things now, completely different. One of them is a spiritual thing, and nobody could see it. Nobody would know that such a thing had been accomplished except God. Think back in your life. When you trusted Christ as Savior, and the Bible had told you this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you called upon the name of the Lord, upon the promise of God, your sins were forgiven. Could you look in your heart and see that those sins were gone? You say, I'm not able to see in my heart. It's impossible for me to know that my sins were gone. The Lord Jesus said, I'm aware of that you're not able to perceive spiritual things, but tell me this. If a man were completely paralyzed, and the Lord Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, and that man that was physically paralyzed suddenly rose up and took the bed that was supporting him and threw it over his shoulder and went home, could you tell a miracle had been performed? You say, indeed, anyone could see that. And the Lord Jesus said, which is easier, to say something spiritual and it happens, or to say something physical and it happens? He said, to me, it is no different. Now, I want us to think on that for a moment, because two things in the Old Testament come to mind, and both of them were difficult things for two prophets of God to accomplish. Let me tell you the simplest one first. When Elijah was going back to heaven, Elisha said to him, I want you to impart a double portion of your spirit upon me. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Isn't that remarkable? That Old Testament prophets of God, when they did things for God, confessed, you've asked a hard thing to be done. He said, nevertheless, if when I go, you see me, then this request shall be granted. Elijah, this great prophet of God, said, you've asked a hard thing for me to do. Now, think of Elisha as well. Elisha had already miraculously enabled a Shunammite woman who had no children and her husband was old. He said, the next time the season comes round, you're going to embrace the sun. And this woman realized that such a thing was so hard that she said, do not deceive thy handmaiden, my lord. He said, you'll see. And so, 9 months later, when the season came round, the woman embraced the son, held him in her arms. Now, that did not seem hard for Elisha to accomplish. But what happened later was this. The little boy grew up, and one day he was with his father when he was doing work in the field. And suddenly he was stricken with a severe headache, and he said, my head, my head. His father was not aware how sick he was. And so he said to the servant, take him home to his mother. And the child was taken home to mother, and she held him in her arms upon her lap, and after a while, he died. She took the child and laid him on Elisha's bed, and she rushed with all speed to Elisha. And Elisha saw her coming, and he sent Gehazi, his servant. And in brief, this is what happened. She told him that the son had died. And so Elisha thought it was going to be something easy, and he took his staff, and he said to Gehazi, he said, take this staff and go and lay it on the face of the child. And Gehazi did what his master had told him to do, and nothing happened. And so Elisha himself came and found a dead child lying on his bed. And the first thing he did was to cover the child's body with his body. And after a while, the body became warm. And then Elisha walked up and down in the house, and then he repeated these actions. And finally, after a while, the child's life came to him again. And it was such a hard thing for Elisha to do. Some miracles were easy for him to do, but this was a hard thing for him to do. But the Lord Jesus, God's greatest prophet, God's only begotten Son, when there was something to be done, he would speak the word, and immediately it would be done. And I want to bring two things together to show you the ease of the challenge that was before our Savior, with which he accomplished that challenge. With ease, never with difficulty. He did get tired after he had worked all day preaching to the Israelites. And he was in the boat, and it said they took him just as he was in the boat, and he fell asleep. And there's a raging storm going on, and the boat is filling with water, and the Lord Jesus is asleep. And they wake him up, and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord Jesus rose up and he said, peace, be still. And immediately the storm went away. Who ever heard of such a thing? A miracle that is incomprehensible. And the Lord Jesus said, peace, be still. And the storm goes away. And today, when the Lord Jesus was confronted with a man that was paralyzed, and he was besought that he would heal him, the Lord Jesus saw nothing difficult about that. And when this man had a life that was filled with sin, he saw nothing difficult about that. And it was just as easy for the Lord Jesus to perform a physical miracle as it was for him to perform a spiritual miracle. But you and I can see the physical, but you can't see the spiritual. And so he said, I'm going to illustrate for you now that this man's sins have been forgiven. He said, it's easy for me. Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say to this man that's paralyzed, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. He says to the man that was sick of the palsy, take up your bed, take it home, walk, go. And the man did it. And he did with ease every work that God laid upon him to perform. Who can believe such a thing? Now, some things would be more difficult for me than others. If I had a man with a rash and I had the power to heal, I would say, why, that's not hard to heal. But if I saw a man's body that was covered with leprosy, I would say, Lord, that's a hard thing to do. But it made no difference to the Lord Jesus. If a leper came to him, the Lord Jesus would touch him and say, be healed. And he was healed. And if there was a raging storm that was occurring, the Lord Jesus would say, peace, be still. There was nothing in the life that ever confronted the Lord Jesus that was difficult for him to do. No work that God laid upon him to do was difficult for him to do except the bearing of sin. To forgive sin was easy. To still a storm was easy. To raise the dead was easy. But the one time in our Savior's life that he manifested any difficulty was when he suddenly was confronted with the time, because he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Before that, anything that the Lord Jesus had to do was done with ease. He got tired doing the will of God, but there was no difficulty for him to do it. But when it came to our Savior bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, you will recall that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Father let it be known that this cup would not pass from him. And after three times, he rose and he said, yes, yes, Father. He had said it in John 12. He spoke about the will of the Father, and he said this. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then the hour came when the Lord Jesus neared the time that he would bear his sins on the cross, and that was the only hard thing that the Lord Jesus ever had that the Father expected him to do. I'm thinking of this. After we've trusted Christ as Savior, he wants us to do God's good and acceptable and perfect will. And yet, the Lord can ask some of us the simplest things to do and think how hard they are for you to do it, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I can't do that. Going to this place to do something for a sick friend, well, that's so inconvenient. Praying without ceasing. But Lord, so many things that God asks us to do. And yet to the Lord Jesus, when the centurion said, my servant is sick unto death, the Lord Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And so think of your life and think how hard it is for you to do God's will. So hard that how often do you fail to do God's will? I'm thinking of this.
There was this man who had a friend, and a friend came to visit him at midnight. And he said, well, I've got a friend. I'll go and borrow some food from him. And he went and pounded on his door, and he said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And inside, the friend said to him, trouble me not. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You see the impossibility of that request? And the Lord Jesus saw through it, and he said this. He said, though he will not rise and give him, yet if he keeps knocking on that door, he'll get up and let him in and give him anything he wants, and says, now get out of here. Go home. And so I'm thinking of God's will and the way that we at times do that God's will. Because if I didn't do it, it would be so embarrassing. And I'm thinking of Ananias and Sapphira. Here was money that should have been given to them because they loved God, because of the work of God. But they wanted that money so much, they said, well, we will pretend that we've given God a lot, but we'll hold back part of the price. And it cost them their lives. And so giving material things to God, doing love things for friends, the inconvenience, things that cause a strain upon us physically. How often we say, this is too much, this is too great a thing to ask. But for the Lord Jesus, nothing was too difficult for God to ask him to do. And nothing was too hard for him to do. Now, I want you to see this, that the Lord Jesus found it easy to do because he never did it of his own power. He was God manifest in the flesh. But this is what he showed us in John chapter 11. When Lazarus was dead and he wanted to raise him from the dead, the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But for the sake of those that are round about, I said it that they might believe. The Lord Jesus, though he was God manifest in the flesh, he prayed to his Father for strength from heaven, and the Father would impart that strength, that power, and then that power would be exerted for blessing upon others, whether it was for the forgiveness of sins, or whether it was for the healing of the sick, or whether it was raising from the dead. And the Lord Jesus went through life that way. And I'm thinking this, if the apostles who were sent forth to preach and to do God's will, if they had to do it of their own strength, what could they do? He told them to do this. He said, when you go forth, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Which of you can do any one of those things? You have no power to do that. The Lord Jesus said, God could do it. But as the man Christ Jesus, he said, Father, I want you to empower me to do these things. And so the Father did that. I think if I had that power as God, I would just draw upon it and not bother my heavenly Father, God the Father. I would do it as God the Son. But the Lord Jesus, as the man, Christ Jesus, would pray to his Father, and his Father would bestow that power upon him. Being omniscient, I wouldn't need to ask God for anything. But it said that the Lord Jesus rose a great while before the day, and he went out and prayed. Why? Because he wanted to know his Father's will for that day. And instead of drawing upon his own omniscience, he went and prayed to the Father. Father, what is your will for me today? And the Father would open his ear. You find that in Isaiah. He openeth morning by morning. He openeth mine ear to hear as those that are taught. And this is what is so beautiful, that if God empowers us, it's easy to do things, because we are doing it with the power of God. If we are praying, if we are preaching, if we are empowered by the Spirit of God, it's an easy thing. But if we are trying to do it of ourselves, it is so difficult. I remember one brother who was just an ordinary brother, had no great gifts, but one day he stood before the Christians and he gave a message that was exceptional for this man. And when he got through, he got down from the pulpit, he said, "God was with me today. I've never had anything like this to happen to me." Well, that's remarkable. And so here is one, and he tries as much as he's able, and here am I. We study and study, and perhaps we get something together. But at other times, we have prepared, and we say, "Well, I hope that the Christians will appreciate this. I trust that these thoughts are rightly connected one with another," and it's so difficult at times to present them. And at other times, you stand and preach, and all is no trouble at all. Why? Because God especially enables you. This is what Paul said. He said to the Thessalonians, "Knowing how that our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." And that is what happened. The Apostle Paul said that at times he was among those that he preached to with fear and in much trembling. And poor Timothy all along had a timid spirit. And Paul said to the Christians, "Now, you help Timothy out. You know his disposition." And that's the way it is. But at times, God lets us see that there is something beyond our power, and he enables us, and then we preach, we work for God, we give to God, we sacrifice for God, and we say, "Why, it wasn't hard at all." And at other times, we are like those Pharisees. The Lord Jesus tells us about them. When they are fasting, he makes sure that everybody is looking at him. And he puts on a long face. "Oh, I'm so hungry. If I could only have something to eat." The Lord Jesus said, "That is hypocrisy." And others also, when they are giving, they blow a trumpet and everybody's looking. And then they put in what they give. And so some never have to worry about that, about giving. They don't give. Others never have to worry about fasting because they don't fast. Others never have to worry about self-denial because they never do it. But it says this, that our Lord Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not complain to God. And when Satan tempted him, "You haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Command that these stones be made bread." The Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So whatever the Father wanted for the Son, to go without food 40 days, he was prepared to go 40 days. And if necessary, to die, if God the Father wanted him to die. He said, "The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" So the only thing hard for the Lord Jesus to do was to bear sin and to be separated from his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The only time he ever addressed his Father as God was when on the cross he was being forsaken. And so here is the Lord Jesus, and he goes through life doing God's will, and it is an easy thing in some ways. It causes him exhaustion. It causes him hunger and self-denial. And yet the Lord Jesus says, "That's nothing to me." And when he performs miracles, One is as easy as the other. When he says to one, son, your sins are forgiven. When he says to another, take up your bed and walk. All those things are equally of ease to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's think of him now. When he is confronted with difficulty, one of them is no greater a challenge to him than the other. I'm thinking this now. He's spoken to one man, and he needs his sin forgiven. And so he says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. But now, in the portion I read you today, here is a man that is possessed, and if its name is Legion, and it's literally a legion, there are 6,000 demons in that man controlling him. And yet, the Lord Jesus, enabled to forgive sins, enabled to overcome all the power of the devil, simply commands those spirits to go out. And they know that the Lord Jesus has power. Why? Because they beseech him, do not tell us to go into the abyss. Do not drive us out of this country. But please, let us go into the swine if you cast us out. And so the Lord Jesus has all authority. And the Lord Jesus says, you are permitted. Go into the swine. And when they go into the swine, in a mad rush down the hill, go into the sea, and they are drowned. And then the people go away and report all that's happened to the others round about. Now think of this. Here are all the inhabitants of the man of the Gadarenes, and they had tried with all their power to do something for the man. At first, there may not have been a legion of demons in him. There may have been just a few. But at first, they had put chains and fetters on him. Think, at first they could do that. But he became so powerful by demonic power that he could snap the chains and the fetters. They were nothing to him. And so finally, they were not even able to approach him. And when they came near him, he would rush out. And for fear of their lives, they would flee. And so they abandoned him. All hope for the redemption of this man was gone. But now think, I told you that with the Lord Jesus, everything was easy. And the Lord Jesus simply said to the man that others had put chains on him and they were not able to change or control. He simply said, come out and go into the swine. And everything was accomplished. Isn't that remarkable? And I'm thinking of this. If you ask me to lead a hardened sinner to Christ, to get him away from his sinful habits, to break the sins that were chaining him and binding him, I would tell you, I'm not able to do that. I've gone to this man, I've spoken to him, I've prayed with him, I've besought him to come to Christ, and nothing happens. And think of the Lord Jesus. Here is this man under the control of a legion of spirits, and all he does is speak the word, and the spirits have to leave. So, if I'm trying to lead a man to Christ, I think I'm going to do the way the Lord Jesus did. When he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he prayed to his Father. And if I'm trying to win a man to Christ, a difficult sinner to lead him to Christ, I have no power. The Lord has told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm going to preach that gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to every man that believes. But at the same time, if I'm going to use my wit and my skill and my education to convert that man, I would have no more success than those this man of the Gadarenes had had. They were unable to do anything for him. But what we are unable to do, the Lord Jesus with ease is able to do. He speaks the word. He simply says to the man that was paralyzed, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He says to him, "Take up your bed and walk." He says to the demoniac, "Come out of him, go into the swine." And the demons do that. And they acknowledge that they are under Christ's authority. Why? Because had Christ said, "Go into the abyss," they would have to go there. Had he said, "Go out of this country," they would have had to go out of the country. But if the Lord Jesus said, "You are permitted to go into the swine," then they would go into the swine. And so here is Christ who said this, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he took this power of God and he exerted it for the good of mankind. And so here is the Lord Jesus, the servant of the Father, the one who had no difficulty in doing all of God's will, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a spiritual thing. Now think for a moment. Here is a storm, and the Lord Jesus can still the storm. Here is a man that's possessed with demons, and he can exorcise those demons. Here is a man who needs his sins forgiven, and the Lord Jesus can forgive sins. The Lord Jesus is God's Son, and nothing is too difficult for him. That's enough. Let us pray. Our God, we confess that at times we would come before you and say with Moses, "This is too great for me. It's a burden. I cannot bear it." We pray that you shall forgive us. Lord, you've told us that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. You've told us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And so help us to look upon your Son, our God, and understand that with ease, even though physical difficulty, even though self-denial was involved, yet one thing was as easy for him as another, except the bearing of sin. And we are thankful that he has done for us what we could never do for ourselves, who his own self bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. And so we thank you for his great love and for the great sacrifice and for the great suffering he did that he might say, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." We are thankful that we know that your Son has power on earth to forgive sins, and he has pronounced our sins forgiven. And he's promised us a home in heaven, and that is our hope, and that is our portion. And so we thank you for your Son, whom you've sent, who delighted to do your will, who fully did all your will, our Father. We thank you for him. Receive our thanks in his name. Amen. Meeting.